Okay, today's daf is Brachot daf Tet Zayin. We're at the bottom of Tet Vav. Amud Bet at the two dots. Tani Ravadia Kamei Rava Vilimadatem Shelimudecha Tam. Right, Vilimadatem is a conjunction of Vilimadata and Tam. Your learning should be complete or whole. How is your learning whole? Sheyitein Revach Benet Vekim. Right, you should put a proper space in between the end of one word and the beginning of the next word so that each word is identifiable. We're not talking about just any word, specifically those words where the previous word ends with the same letter the next letter begins with. Ani Rava Batre Kigon Al Levavecha, right? Like Al Levavecha, Al ends with Lamed and Levavecha starts with Lamed. Similarly, you have the same in Al Levavechem, Bechol Levavecha, Bechol Levavechem, Esev Besadechas, both Bet, Vevadate Meheraz, both Mem, Haknaf Petil is both Pei, and then Etchem Meharetz is both Mem. Ani Ruchamber Bechanina Kolakore Kriyat Shema Medakbi. Anyone who reads and enunciates the words properly of Shema, hell is colder for him. Shneemar b'faresh sadai shadai melachim ba tishlag b'tzalmon. When Kadosh Baruch Hu scatters kings, it will rain. It will snow in Tzalmon. I'll take read b'faresh el b'faresh. Don't read b'faresh scatters, rather b'faresh enunciates. I'll take read b'tzalmon el b'tzalmavet, and don't read Tzalmon, rather Tzalmavet, which is death, reference to hell. So when you enunciate God, enunciate the name of God, and Kriyat Shema is our acceptance of God, then it will snow in Tzalmavet, which is hell. So when you enunciate the name of God by saying Shema properly and being very particular about the word pronunciation, for you it will snow in hell, meaning it'll be colder for you there. Right, the pasuk in Bamidbar connects the idea of a nachal, which is a river, to an ohel. I'll read the full pasuk. Kinachalim nitayu ke genot alai nahar ke ohalim nata adonai ke arazim alai maim. Right. So, what's the connection between ohalim and nachalim? Lomar lechatz to tell you this. Ma nachalim alin et adam etum el taraf olim alin et adam mikav chov lekav zchut. Just like a nachala purifies a person and it brings him from impurity to purity, so to an ohel, which is generally a reference to a Beit Midrash, as we see by Yaakov and Yoshev ohalim, right, brings you from a guilty din to a meritorious din. Akor lemafrei lo yatza. Someone reads Shema out of order is not yotze. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Havu Katrin le genana le Rabbi Elazar. Amar lehu adahachi vehachi ezil veishma milta de bemidrasha vaiti veemalachu. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were tying together a chuppah for Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, who's just kind of sitting on the side, said, listen, there's no reason for me to be here while you're working. I'm going to go to the Beit Midrash while you're working, and then I'll come back and tell you what I hear there. He came and found a Tana who taught the following in front of Rabbi Yochanan. If you said Kriyat Shema, you made a mistake, but you're not sure exactly where you made the mistake, right? Your mind starts to wander. You're like, oh, when was the last place I actually was paying attention to what I was saying? What was I up to? What did I say properly? So if you're in the middle of a certain paragraph, just restart from that paragraph. So in the middle of Vaya, just go back to the beginning of Vahaya. Right? And if you're in the middle of Prakim, go back to the beginning of the previous parak. And if you make a mistake between the two mentionings of Chatavtem, meaning, oh, I know I say this in both Vahaya and Vayomer, I don't know if this is the Ktiva of Vahaya or the Ktiva of Vayomer that I'm up to, so you go back to the first one. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela shlo patach bilaman yirbo yimechem. Aval patach bilaman yirbo yimechem sarche nakat. We only taught that if you hadn't yet said Leman Yirbu. But once you started saying Leman Yirbu Yimechem, the assumption is, oh, I must have been in the one up to Shema. Meaning, if you said Vechatavtem, and then you weren't sure, oh, is this Vehaya, or is this Vehavta, or is this Vehaya? So you go back to the Vehavta. But if you're continuing to say it, and then you reach Leman Yirbu Yimechem, the assumption is that you said it properly, because we say it so often, we say it multiple times a day. The assumption is if you've already hit Leman Yirbu Yimechem, the odds are is that you're really in the one Verfehaya, and that's why you continue to Leman Yirbu. Right, so Eliezer came back and he told us Rav Ami and Rav Asi were still working on his chuppah, and he said, wow, if we just would have come for that reason, it would have been enough. Meaning, yeah, we're involved in a mitzvah, that's why we came to you, we wanted to help you prepare your chuppah, but even if we just came to hear that pshat, it would have been enough for us. Matniti. Haomanin korin barosha ilan barosha nadvach mashein rishayin lasot kem betfila. So professionals who are in the middle of work are allowed to read Kriyat Shema at the top of the trees that they're working on, at the top of the stone structures that they're in the middle of building, but they're not allowed to do that for tefila. Because tefila, you have to stand up and you have to have proper focus. So the understanding is you're not going to be able to focus properly in that situation for all of Shemoneh Esrei. Chatan patur mikriyat Shema Laila Rishona Vad Motzei Shabbat Im Lo Asa Maise. Right, similar to what we said earlier in the beginning of the Masechta, that a chatan is patur from saying Kriyat Shema the first night of his marriage, and until Motzei Shabbat if he has not yet consummated the marriage. Umaser Rabbi Gamliel Shenasa Isha Vekara Laila Rishona. Rabbi Gamliel once married a woman, and he did say Kriyat Shema that first night. Amar Lo Talmidav, his student said to him, Lamnatenu Rabbeinu Shechatan Patur Mekriyat Shema. But didn't Rabbi teach us that a chatan is patur from saying Kriyat Shema? He doesn't have to. Amar Leim Eni Shomei Lechem Levatel Emenu Hemeni Malchut Shemaim Afilu Shach. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to that pshat, and I don't have to. You're correct, but what? I'm not going to accept Ol Malchut Shemayim on myself. No, of course I am. Even though I'm Pater, I'm going to do it anyway. Tan Rabbanan or Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. How many Korim Barosha Ilan Barosha Nadvach Mitpalim Barosha Zayid Ubarosha Teina. Right, so they could say Kriyat Shema at the top of a tree or at a stone structure, and they're actually allowed to daven Shemona Esrei in an olive tree or a date tree because their branches are very, very thick. You're more sturdy up there, and therefore you're allowed to. V'shar kol ilano yordim lamata mitpalalim. But all other trees, you have to go down and then daven. U'balabai ben gach uven kach yored lamata mitpalal l'fi she'en dato miyoshevet alav. But a balabai needs to go down, right? Because it's very difficult to focus when you're up there and you're afraid, you're high up, you're not going to be able to focus properly. But they made a special exemption for professionals who are in the middle of work, because the concern was that if we make them go down, they're going to be mevatel malacha, meaning they're being paid a certain amount of money to work, and they're taking time off and taking that time that they're getting paid for very lightly. But a balabai doesn't have the same heter, right? A balabai is not in the middle of working. He shouldn't be up there. Only someone who's in the middle of working and getting paid for that, we don't want him to steal from the person who's paying him, and therefore he doesn't come down so as not to waste time. Ramile Rav Mari Bara Debat Shmuel L'Rava Tana Tnan Ha'omanim Korin Barosha Ilan Ubarosha Nadvach Amalobai Kavana. Right? So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, asked Rava. He says that the professionals in the middle of work, they say Kriyat Shema in the middle of their work. That's interesting, because that makes it sound like Kriyat Shema doesn't need Kavana, because they're allowed to say Kriyat Shema while they're in the middle of work. Uraminhu HaKoret Shema Tzarech Shechaven Libo. But didn't we learn that someone who reads Shema needs to have proper Kavana? Shneemar Shema Yisrael. Right? As because we say in Shema, Shema Yisrael, Ulahalan hu omer, Hasket v'Shema Yisrael. And furthermore, later on we say, pay attention, and hear, O Israel, Malahalan besket, Afkan besket. So to there we have to pay attention, so here, by Kriyat Shema we have to pay attention. Ishtik, he was silent, he didn't know what to say. Amar Leh, until finally he said, Midi Shmiel Chabaha, have you heard anything about this? I mean, I don't know the answer, did you hear anything? Amar Leh, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshet, this is what Rav Sheshet holds. V'u Shabbat Lami Malachatan. No, they need to stop working and only then say Kriyat Shema V'korin. V'atanya, but wait, didn't we learn in the Braita, Beit Hillel Omrim Oskin V'lachatan V'korin? Lokasha V'perek Rishon V'perek Sheni. Didn't we learn in the Braita that Hillel says that you're allowed to continue to work while you say Kriyat Shema? That's not a difficulty, because Hillel was talking about from the second paragraph and on. But in the first paragraph, you need to have proper Kavana. You stop working, you say Shema Yisrael Shema Kinoi Shema Chad, and then you can continue working, and then from that point on, you don't need proper Kavana. Tan Rabbanan. Apolim Shayu Osim Balacha, Etzel Balabai, Korin Kriyat Shema, Mvarchim Lefnei Avacharea, Vauchlin Pitan, Mvarchim Lefnei Avacharea, Umitpalim Tvila Shashmona Esrei, Aval Enyo Lefnei Teva, Veno Sin Kapeim. Right, so we taught the following Mishnah, that those who are working and receiving a salary for their work, they are allowed to say Kriyat Shema, and they're allowed to say the Birkot Kriyat Shema, and they're allowed to have a meal. Your lunch break, I guess, is factored in, and you're allowed to make a proper bracha before the meal and a proper bracha after the meal, and you're allowed to daven as well, right? Daven all of Shemona Esrei. However, you're not allowed to lead for the tzibur, and you're not allowed to do Birkat Kohanim if you're a Kohen, right? What's the difference if you're davening with a tzibur Why can't you lead for the tzibur? Aren't you there the same amount of time? No, you have to actually leave before chazarat hashatz. Va'tanya, but wait, didn't we learn in the Braita me'ein yudchet that you're not supposed to daven a full shmona esrei, rather hashkivenu, which is me'ein yudchet. What you do is you read the first three brachot, and then you have one bracha for instead of the middle 13, and then you read the last three brachot. Amar Rav Sheshi lokasha Rav Gamliel Rav Yeshua. It's not difficult. It's a machloke between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua whether you do a full shmona esrei or hashkivenu. Rav Gamliel shita you do full shmona esrei. Rabbi Yeshua believes that you do Ashkivenu, right? You do a shortened version. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, my iria polim, afilo kol adam nami. Wait, Rabbi Yeshua's shita is not just that workers who are in the middle of work are say Hashkivenu. Rabbi Yeshua believes that during that you can always say Hashkivenu. So why are you davka specifying that workers should do a shortened Shmona Esrei? That must be Rabbi Yeshua's shita. Rabbi Yeshua believes that everyone's allowed to do a shortened Shmona Esrei. No, rather, both of these teachings were in accordance with the Rav Gamliel. V'lo kasha, but still, it's not a contradiction. Kan bo osim mischara and kan bo osim mesudatan. One is when they're working for a proper livelihood, a proper parnasa, right? In that case, you're getting paid a proper amount. You shouldn't be wasting too much time. Do a ke'en yudchet and say hashkivenu, a shortened shmona esrei. But when you're only working enough to buy your meal, meaning you're working for someone for so cheap, it's basically just so that you can stay alive. But, you know, you're working for him all day, you get the necessary meals that you need to stay alive, and that's how you make a living. At that point, you're making so little money for your time that you don't have to be so specific about what you do with your time. Vatanya, but didn't we learn in a braita, hapolim shayu osim melacha etzel balabayit, korin kreshma umit palalin, ve'ochlin pitan, ve'ein mevarchin lifnei aval mevarchin acharei ashtayim, keitzad bracha rishona kitikuna shnia poteach v'berkata aretz v'kololan bonei ushalayim. But didn't we, b'berkata aretz, right, but didn't we learn in a braita that someone who is working for a balabait is allowed to take a lunch break? However, I mean, he's allowed to say kriyat shema, he's allowed to daven, he's allowed to take a lunch break, but he shouldn't be making the bracha rishona on bread because that's derabanan. He only makes the bracha achrona on bread, which is deoraita, and he even shortens that. He says the first bracha, then you start the second bracha and include the third bracha within the second bracha to do it very, very quickly, and then you go back to work. So that contradicts our previous braita, which says that you're allowed to make a proper bracha before and afterward. A proper bracha before and after bread. No, what's that talking about here? Right? Yeah, that when we shortened it, when you said you shouldn't say a bracha rishona and you do a shortened bracha achrona, that's talking about when you're getting a proper salary. However, when you're only working for your meal, you're allowed to extend, you're allowed to make a full bracha and a full bracha achrona. Alternatively, when the balabait is sitting with you and eating, we assume that he's okay with you doing so. Chatan patur mikriyat shema. We're about to now learn the actual source for what we quoted earlier in terms of the limud by what we learned by the fact that a chatan is patur and that someone engaged in a mitzvah is patur from kriyat shema. Here's the actual source for it. We quoted it earlier, but here's where it's taught. Tan rabbanan b'shivtecha b'veitecha. Prad lo osek b'mitzvah, right? When you're going back to your house, but that's prad lo osek b'mitzvah, meaning if you're going back to your house, you need to say kriyat shema. But if you're engaged in a mitzvah, you don't need to say kriyat shema. That's what the limud comes to teach us. Ubelechtecha baderech, right? And when you're walking on your way, prat lechatan, right? To exclude a groom, right? Who isn't walking on his way, he's about to get married. Mikan amru akonet tetula patur v'tal manachayach. And from this, they taught that anyone who is marrying a virgin is patur from kriyat shema, but marrying a widow, you're chayav in kriyat shema. My mashma, what in these words that we said, b'shutcha v'vitecha v'lechtcha v'derech, it indicates to us that a chatan would be patur, or someone engaged in a mitzvah is patur. Amru baba ki derech. Right, it says that you're going on your way. Ma derech reshut afacha nami reshut. Right, that when you're going on your way is permissible. I mean, it's a reshut. It's not a mitzvah. You're just walking. So too, anything that is engaged in a davar reshut, I mean, you're allowed to do, but not something that you have to do. Right, meaning if you're engaged in something that wasn't a reshut, you're engaged in a mitzvah, then you don't have to say kriyat shema. Then you're pater. Only if you're doing something that's similar to going on your way, which is permissive, that's when you don't have to say kriyat shema. Milo askin and the kazi l'dvar mitzvah, v'afilu hachi amar rachman alikri. Wait, but how do you know that he's walking for a permissive reason? Meaning, how do you know he's just taking a walk? Maybe he's on his way to do a mitzvah. And even still, we say he should say Kriyat Shema. Im kein lemakra belechet. May belechtecha, shema mina, belechet didcha. Well, then it should have said belechet, when you're walking. What is belechtecha? Meaning when you're going for your own reasons. You're doing something that you need to do, something permissive, something that you want to take care of, right? But not when you're going for a dvar mitzvah. That wouldn't say belechtecha. That's not your walking. That's walking for a mitzvah, as opposed to walking for your own interest. Belechet didcha hu mechayevet had the mitzvah p'tiret. So it's only your personal walking that you're chayev to do shema, but if it's a walking for a mitzvah, then you're not chayev. Ihachi, my iria konis betula, filu konis da almana. Well, then what's the difference between marrying a betula as opposed to marrying an almana? Either way, you should be pater. Acha tarid v'acha lo tarid. No, you're very mentally preoccupied for when you're marrying a betula, but you're not so mentally preoccupied when you're marrying an almana. But if it's because of mental preoccupation, then if your boat is sinking, you should be pater.
Right?
However, we learned that a mourner is obligated in all mitzvot except for specifically tefillin, because the pasuk in Yechezkel says it's not appropriate for someone who's mourning to wear tefillin, because it's such a glorious thing to do. So I see that mental preoccupation doesn't actually exempt me from doing something. So what's the pshat? Why is it that I would be putter because I'm mentally preoccupied on my wedding night, but not because my ship is sinking? Amri hatam tirda drush hatam tirda derashud hacha tirda de mitzvah. Right, that's a mental preoccupation that's not of a specific of that's not engaged in a mitzvah. This is a mental preoccupation that's involved in a mitzvah. Meaning, again, when your boat is sinking, that's not a mitzvah that you're preoccupied with. It's a very unfortunate occurrence that you're preoccupied with. But when you're getting married, that's a mitzvah that you're preoccupied with. So by your boat sinking, it's a preoccupation, but it's not a mitzvah. Marrying an almana is a mitzvah, but it's not a preoccupation. Marrying a betula is both a preoccupation and it's a mitzvah. Okay, up to the Mishnah. Matitin rachatz laila rishon shemeta. Right, this is a continuation of the previous statement that we made about Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel bathed himself the first night after his wife died. Amru tamira v'lamatenu rabenu. Right, so his students came up to him and said, "You said that it's asur to rinse yourself the night after one of your close relatives dies." He says, "I'm not like everyone else. I'm an istinis. I'm particularly sensitive to matters of cleanliness, and therefore I'm allowed to wash myself." Ukshemet Tavi Avdo, and when Tavi, his servant, his slave died, kibel av tanchumim. He would accept on Tavi's behalf, he would accept condolences. But didn't Rebbe teach us that you're not supposed to accept condolences for your slave? My slave Tavi is not like every other Tavi. He's a very virtuous person. Right? So Rabban Gamliel believes that if you want to say Kriyat Shema on the night of your wedding, you're certainly allowed to. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer lo kol arotze litol ad Hashem yitol. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, yeah, not everyone who wants to do that should. Why? Well, listen, if you're a notably good, great person, then I'm sure you have no problem focusing properly in Kriyat Shema, even though you're probably mentally preoccupied with other things that night. However, if you're not such a great person, and you're just suggesting, oh, but I can say it because I'm so great and I can focus properly, it looks like undeserved arrogance that you're saying, oh, look at me, I can say Kriyat Shema even though I don't have to. I'm so good at focusing in my Kriyat Shema. But we paskin that you're allowed to if you want to. Gemara, my time, the Rabban Gamliel. So how did Rabban Gamliel permit himself to rinse himself in the first day after the death of his wife? Right? At that point, you're in onen, right? Which is basically you're putter from almost every, you're putter from mitzvot aseh, but you're also obligated to not partake in certain things like washing yourself. Rabban Gamliel kasavar aninut laila de rabbanan. He must hold that aninut, right? That period that you're in once a close relative dies is that the night after they die is only derabanan and not deoraita, right? There is because from the Torah it already uses the word aninut. From the Torah we know that you're an onen when your close relative dies. However, the night after your relative dies is no longer a Torah level aninut. It's actually derabanan aninut. Dichtiv ve'achrita ki yom mar.
Right? So, achrita ke yom mar, that means the day after they die is a very bitter day, but that's the day. We learn from there that it's only the day that you're considered an onen. By the following night, the Torah no longer considers you an onen. Umakom istanis lo gazru rabbanan. And for an istanis, someone who's particularly sensitive to matters of cleanliness, the rabbanan were not gozer the following night that you can't wash yourself as well. Ukshemet tavi avdo. Right, so for the death of slaves and maidservants, people, you don't stand in a line. What does that mean? Well, people would stand in a line, and the mourner would walk down, and everyone would be offering their condolences. And you don't say the bracha of avelim, v'tanchum avelim. And you don't say condolences for mourners. Why don't you do this, by the way? It seems that the concern is, these are things that you only do for close relatives. Right? And so, if a slave dies and you're doing this for them, where the concern is that people are going to assume that you're a close relative of this slave. And if you're the son or the daughter of a slave, then you are born into slavery. Right? And so you're going to have questionable yichus. You're going to have very questionable parentage. And we don't want people to assume that the reason you're mourning over the loss of a slave is because they were your father or they were your mother. And we would assume then that you were born into slavery and we would then question your parentage. So Rabbi Elazar's maidservant died. So his students came to condole him, to give him condolences. When he saw them, he went upstairs. And they went up after him. So he goes into the small room in the upstairs that was before a bigger room. And they went in after him. Nichnas the Tarklin. Then he went into a big room afterward. Nichnasu acharav. And they went in after him. Amar lehem kemadube ani shatem nichvim beposhri. I would have thought that you would be burnt with warm water. Achshav yetem nichvim afilu bechame chamin. Now I see that you're not even being burnt by burning hot water. Lo kach shaniti lechem avadim v'shvachot ein omdim aleim b'shura v'ein omrim aleim birkat avelim v'lo tanchumi avelim. Didn't I teach you that for avadim and shvachot, you don't accept condolences for them? Meaning, what was he saying? Why did I walk upstairs? I walked upstairs because I didn't want you coming to give me condolences because you don't give condolences over the loss of an eved or a shivcha, right? And I thought that I would just have to go upstairs and you would just understand what I was doing. That's what he meant by saying you would be burnt by warm water. Even a small hint like that, you would pick up on, right? But now I see that I'm basically spelling it out for you and you're still not listening. You're not even being burnt by burning hot water. Meaning, I'm trying to make it clear to you that you're not supposed to come and give me condolences here and you seem to not listen. So what do you say to someone who lost an eved or a shivcha? Right, you say to them like they would have lost like an animal. That you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mashlim. He should make up for your loss. That's the same thing that you say if you lose an eved or a shivcha. Tanya idach, another bright that we learned on the topic. Avadim and shvachot ein maspidim otan. Right, you don't do a hesped, you don't do a eulogy for avadim and shvachot. Rabbi Yossi Omer im eved kasher hu omrim alav. No, if it's a virtuous eved, you're allowed to say it. Hoy ishto v'ne'eman v'nehene miyageo. Right? You're allowed to say the following. You know, woe was to this person who was a good person and an honorable person and he enjoyed his work. Amrulo imken ma'anach t'laksherim. Say, whoa, that's wonderful praise that you're giving to your Eved. Meaning, what more can you say about any good person who was a Ben Chorin? Tan Rabbanan. He taught, Ein Korin Avot Ela Shlosha, Ein Korin Imaot Ela Arba. There are only three who are called Avot, and only four who are called Imaot. Avot, meaning Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and then Sarav Karachal Leo. Avot my time. Why are there only three who are called Avot? Ilem Mishum Delo Yadinan, Imeruven Kaatinan, Imishimon Kaatinan. If it's because, well, we don't know. Did you come from Reuven? Did you come from Shimon? Did you come from Levi? We're not sure. Well, you probably know if you come from Levi. But we don't know which Shevet you come from. So it doesn't make sense to call them Avot because they're not all your Avot. Right? So too by Rachel and Leah. You don't know if you came from Rachel or Leah. Meaning Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, we all came from them. Right? Sarah Rivka, we all came from them. We didn't all come from both Rachel and Leah. And so if you want to say that you can't call Reuven Shimon an Eved because we didn't, Reuven Shimon in Av because you don't know that you came from one of them and not the other. So tu barachon le, you don't know that you came from one of them and not the other. Elad hacha chashive tve lo chashive. Rather, no. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah were particularly great, and no one else is of their caliber. Tanya idach. We learn a similar brayta. Avadim v'shlachot en korin otam abba ploni ve'ima ploni. Right, you're not supposed to call. You're not supposed to call avadim in shvachot father so and so or mother so and so. It used to be a term of respect to call someone father so and so or mother so and so, but you can't give that term of respect to avadim in shvachot. Similar concern that we had earlier that if you call them father, if you call an eved father or a shivcha mother, the concern is people are going to think, oh, that's actually your father and mother, and you're going to have questionable parentage. We're going to think you were born into slavery. Well, in Rabban Gamliel's house, they would call the avadim and the shvachot by father so-and-so or mother so-and-so. Yeah, but that contradictory case is only because in Rabban Gamliel's house, they were very, very notable individuals, and no one would have been suspect to their parentage. Amar Belazar, my dichtiv, kein avarchecha b'chayei b'shimcha esakapai. What does it mean, that which is written, I will bless you in my life, and your name, and for your name, I will lift my palms? Kein avarchecha b'chayei zo kriyat shema. Right, I will bless you in my life. That's a reference to Kriyat Shema, where we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leilam Ve'ed. B'Shimcha Asakapai, and for your name, I'll lift my hands. Zot Tfila, right, where you lift your hands up to Shemaim in davening. V'Moseken Elavakatuv Omer. If he did that, the Torah relates to this person as if Kemo Chelev Adeshen Tisbat Navshi. Right, as if he had brought Chelev of a korban. Right? Chelev is the forbidden fats that's burnt up on a mizbeach. And the Trumat HaDeshen is another service in the Beit HaMikdash. So basically, if you are makbid on Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, just to kind of translate a little bit of what's going on here, which is a little bit cryptic, basically we're saying, if you're very makbid on saying Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, you're very particular to say that, we relate to you as if you're bringing korbanot or doing proper services in the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo'od, and not only that, Ela Shenochel Shnei Olamim, Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba. Right? And you merit both worlds, this world and the next world. Shenemar v'svatai rinanot yalel pi. From the fact that it says my lips are rinanot, which is a plural of joyous, right? So why just say this singular, right? My lips are joyous as I, you know, praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, it's a plural of joyous because it's twice. It's this world and it's next world. Right, that's how we know that if you do this, you're going to enjoy this world and the next world. Rabbi Elazar Batar Desai Meitzolotei. So now we're getting into a very interesting keta where we just see different things that Rabbanim would say when they finish their davening. So we say as follows: Rabbi Elazar Batar Desai Meitzolotei Amar Hachi. When Rabbi Elazar would finish his davening, he would say the following: Yiratzom Vanecha Adonai Eloenu Shtishken Befurenu Ava VaAchva VaShalom VaReu V'Tar BaGvulenu B'Talmidim V'Tzlich Sofenu Acharit V'Tikva V'Tasim Chalkenu B'Gan Eden V'Taknenu B'Chaver Tov Yetzer Tov Malmecha V'Nashkim V'Nimtzai Yichol V'Venu Lirat Shemecha V'Tavol Vanecha Korat Nafshenu L'Tova. So you would say the following: May be your will, Lord our God, to cause to dwell in our lot love and brotherhood and peace and friendship, and may you make our borders rich with disciples and cause us to succeed ultimately and have good end and good hope, and may you set our portion in Gan Eden, and may you establish for us good companionship and good inclination in your world, and may we rise early and find the aspiration of our hearts to fear your name, and may the satisfaction of our souls come before you for the best. Rabbi Yochanan bat Simon Slutai Amar Hachi. But Rabbi Yochanan, when he davened, he would say the following prayer: Yiratzom Lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu Shetatzitz Bebushteinu V'Tabit B'Ra'atenu V'Tilbash B'Rachamecha So we say the following: May it be your will, Lord our God, that you look upon our shame and behold our plight, that you clothe yourself in your mercy and cover yourself with your might, that you wrap yourself in your loving kindness and gird yourself with your grace, and may your attributes of goodness and humility come before you. Rabbi Zeir about the Messiah Tzlotei Amar Hachi. Rabbi Zeir would say the following after he would finish davening: Yiratzom Lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu Shelo Nechtav Lo Nevo Shelo Nikalem Avotenu. May it be your will, Lord our God, that we not sin or shame ourselves, and that we not disgrace ourselves before our forefathers. Rabbi Chiya, after davening, would say the following: May it be your will, Lord our God, that your Torah should be our vocation, may our heart not become faint, nor our eyes dim. Rav batatotei amar hachi. Rav would say the following after he finished davening: Yiratzom Lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu Shetein Lanu Chaim Arukim, Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Tov, Chaim Shel Bracha, Chaim Shel Parnasa, Chaim Shel Chilut Tzatzamor, Chaim Sheyesh Bem Yiret Chet, Chaim Sheyesh Ein bahem busha v'chlima. Chaim shel osher v'kavod chaim sh'teh banu avat Torah v'yirat shemayim. Chaim sh'timalei lanu et kol mishaot libeinu l'tova. So you'd say the following. May it be your will, Lord our God, that you grant us long life and life of peace and life of goodness, life of blessing, life of sustenance, life of freedom and of movement from place to place, a life of dread of sin, a life without shame and disgrace, a life of wealth and honor, a life which we have a love of Torah and a reverence for heaven, a life in which you fulfill all the desires of our heart for good. Rebbe batatatere amar hachi. So Rebbe would say the following. It's Rebbe Yehuda Nasi would say the following. Yirat zom lefanecha. Adonai yoheinu ve'elayu avoteinu shatzileinu me'azei fanim ve'mazut panim adam ra ve'pega ra ve'mitzer ra ve'mechir ve'ra mishchan ve'meshachen ra ve'mistana meshchid ve'bidin kasheh ve'bal din kasheh ben shu ben berit ben shenu ben berit. May be your will, Lord our God and the God of our forefathers, that you save us from arrogant and from arrogant people and from arrogance in general, from a bad man, from bad mishap, from an evil instinct, from bad companion, from a bad neighbor, and from the destruction of the Satan, from a harsh trial and from a harsh opponent, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew. So even though Antoninus gave Rebbe guards at all time to protect him, Rebbe would still say this, a prayer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he protect him. We're in the middle of things that Rabbanim say after their tefillot, and we'll continue on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tomorrow.